Monday morning, July 1st, here on the Morning Tailgate. Clay Baker, Doug Douglas, here with you, 702-365-9200. That's the number to reach us here at the station here at 702-365-920 by text. It's brought to you by the Dollar Loan Center, and you can send your keyword of the day for the summer of fun. Send the word resort. Text resort to 702-365-9200. You get qualified for that Vegas vacation, thoughtfully provided by Planet Nissan. Hey, we got a lot to get into in this hour because this is a huge week in Las Vegas, especially for the two-time defending world champion Las Vegas Aces.
Draws a double team. Back to the basket to KP for three. Back iron, no good. Chelsea comes over the offensive rebound, puts it back off the glass. CG12 going to work. And Gray has it, top of the key. She spins. Whirling dervish down the lane. Follow away jumper. You got that right. Boom. Shaka-laka-laka. Boom. Chelsea Gray.
Oh, the voice of T.C. Martin. He's also the voice of Las Vegas Aces, a two-time defending champion, and he is with us here today. T.C., let's start with that. Chelsea Gray is absolutely on fire. She continues to mystify everybody in the league coming back from injury, including the Mystics. Thank you for joining us. What's it like to see how Chelsea Gray wrapped up that game over the weekend?
Well, first of all, great to be with you guys, Clay and Diamond Doug over there, man. And,
oh, I like that.
Good to be with my two guys there. Yes. Hey, Chelsea Gray has been the engine that really makes this Aces team go. And, you know, we can talk all about Asia Wilson, and deservedly so, being the face, not only the franchise, but the face of the league, but, you know, what she means to the Aces. But, you know, Becky Hammon had said, and we have been talking about this for a long time, can hardly wait for Chelsea Gray to get back, because as we know that the Aces, you know, split their first 12 games 6-6, and a lot of people were concerned, like, hey, what's wrong with this team? Are they overconfident? It's hard to repeat. And it was all tied into getting Chelsea Gray back on the floor, because she means that much. I mean, she is the best point guard, you know, in the WNBA, you know, three-time champion, well, four-time champion, and, you know, all-star, and she just means so much to this team. So just getting her back was just a breath of fresh air, and really bodes a lot of confidence for her teammates. And we just knew, you know, once she got back on the floor, things were going to start rolling again. It would get Kelsey Plum and Jackie Young off the ball so they could do their thing. And, again, you know, she is the reason why the Aces are riding this four-game winning streak now. And a four-game winning streak, they've won each game by double digits.
Speaking with T.C. Martin, voice of the Aces, of course, a huge week ahead, but still to go, let's stay with Chelsea Gray for a minute. I grew up a Lakers fan, and my favorite player growing up was Magic Johnson because of the way he passed and dished the ball, and that's why you can probably guess Chelsea Gray is my favorite ace to watch, because just to watch her run the floor, like you said earlier, it allows the other players that, you know, were having to bring up the ball to do their thing, but just to watch her and the passes that she does. And then yesterday, of course, all of a sudden the three-pointers and the scoring starting to come back. It's just so much fun to watch. And I know, you know, I'm at a lot of those home games, but just to be able to watch, what do you see when on the away games? Do you just see people that are just like, wow, she is really amazing just to the way that she dishes the ball?
Yeah, mesmerizing, I think, is a great word when you talk about that. And that's a great comparison, Doug, when you talk about, you know, Magic Johnson, because Chelsea Gray has a lot of that in her. And she's all about the Showtime style, no question about it. And if you remember the first game back that she came back against Seattle, she was in the game for literally 3 seconds before she delivered this behind-the-back pass to Alicia Clark in the corner, an AC for three, and the crowd went electric. I mean, they went electric the moment she took off her top and she was marching towards the scorer's table. She got a standing ovation. Next thing you know, boom, and everyone just said, you know, hey, welcome back, Chelsea Gray, because she means that much to this team.
I absolutely love it. Yeah, T.C. Martin here with the Las Vegas Aces. The big game this week is tomorrow night over at T-Mobile Arena, where Caitlin Clark and the Fever come to town, pregame 6 p.m. on ESPN Las Vegas. Get your tickets, though, because this will be an absolute madhouse. What went through your mind when the schedule kind of rolled out after the WNBA draft as the Aces wanted to really capitalize on the Fever of Caitlin Clark and moving this game to T-Mobile Arena? What went through your mind of how this maelstrom will look when it comes Tuesday night?
Well, you know, we have a lot of history already, you know, with games at T-Mobile Arena. Now, each year the Aces get booted out of Mandalay Bay because of the Toyota national convention that is here. So the Aces had to play games in T-Mobile Arena. And actually, we had a playoff game last year, if you remember, against the Chicago Sky.
Okay, yeah.
And each time, the Aces have sold out. And I really give a lot of credit to Mark Davis, you know, because he made those upper deck seats only $10, made it very, very affordable.
Awesome.
As we all know, and Doug will tell you, because you're at the games, you know, the fans always show out there. But these seats are very, very affordable, even at the Mandalay Bay. He has refused to raise ticket prices. So, you know, just getting more people a chance to see the Aces is great. And like you said, Clay, you know, when the schedule came out, you know, everybody started doing this. You know, other opponents, you know, okay, hey, let's, you know, the teams that had the smaller venues, you know, we saw this with Atlanta and several others, that and even Washington, that their arenas only seat like, you know, 4,000 people, and they went to the bigger venues. And, you know, yes, the Aces, you know, saw that vision as well, too. They said, hey, let's get some more people in here. But, you know, I want to say this, you know, everyone is talking about Caitlin Clark and this and that, but, you know, Aces fans, they're coming to see the Aces.
Yes.
And, you know, because they have sold out every home game, the first WNBA team to do this. And that's the note that, you know, we should be talking about here, is that they're the only team in history that sold out every one of their home games before the season even started. And that includes the two games at T-Mobile Arena, where you're going to see 17,000, you know, coming up here Tuesday. And then you're going to see them again, on September 2nd when Chicago comes to town. So I think, you know, the fans are not here just to see, you know, Caitlin Clark and Angel Reese when she comes. But, you know, they're coming to see the Aces. And that, obviously, as we know, is going to be a predominant Aces home crowd.
Now, I'm going to say something. I was never in the WNBA, I must admit. And when the Aces came here, of course, they came from San Antonio. You know, I started to go to games. That was back when Bill Laimbeer was coaching. And I fell in love with the play. And not only that, but with... I'm going to say it because being a Laker fan, I've gone to some Laker games where I've gone to Laker games and I've seen no effort. And that makes me angry because I've been to NBA games where I've seen no effort. And that, you know, that's the one thing you you pay your money, there better be effort. I have never been to, and I think TC will attest, I've been to a lot of WNBA games here. I have always seen effort from both teams. And the skill level, a lot of people say, oh, WNBA skill level. Yeah, that's because you haven't watched it lately.
Sure.
Because it is amazing. And I just think the growth of the game and what TC, you know, you've seen it firsthand all the time. It's amazing. And I think they've earned the eyeballs on them. That Caitlin Clark has, yes, brought some more eyeballs. And I think that's a great thing. But, you know, the skill is there. It's not just Clark. I mean, heck, Kelsey Plum for a while was the all-time leading scorer in the NCAA. I mean, you know, she's good, and so is Jackie, and so is Asia, of course, and a ton of Aces. And I just think, TC, to see the growth of the game being attributed to one person, it's great because it's bringing in people who maybe didn't see it before, but the skill is there.
No, there's no question about it. So I go back to 1997 and 98 when I was in Sacramento, and the Sacramento Monarchs had a team. That was the inception of the WNBA. And I would go to those games, and honestly, guys, we'd call it the layup league because basically it was a layup or nothing. There was no outside shooting, and the skill level was not there. Now, you had some tremendous players in that league, but you didn't have the balance, you know, throughout the league like we have here. And when you think about it, when you only have 12 teams, and they are expanding, they'll have 14 teams coming up here in 2 years. You got Golden State having a team next year, Toronto the year after, and then they're going to expand to 16 in the next 5 years. So, but it's the hardest roster to make when you think about it. These are the best players in the world. And the way college basketball has just risen over the last decade or so, I mean, yes, it is really, really balanced. I mean, every team basically has an all-star, too. And to this point, a lot of people may not realize it, but we had this the first time Indiana came to town. You are going to have five number one overall picks in this game tomorrow night. You have Asia Wilson, Jackie Young, Kelsey Plum, all number one picks for the Aces. Caitlin Clark, number one overall, and then Kelsey Mitchell back in the day for Indiana as well, too. So think about that. I mean, that is a lot of star power. But, yes, the product has gotten so much better. And you're right, Doug, for people that are still kind of like, I don't know about the WNBA, if you watch it, and I always tell people this, come to a game, especially Mandalay Bay. You come to a game, you will be hooked. And I think you guys can attest to that, you know, firsthand. But, you know, for myself, just seeing the growth of this league, what has transpired, especially since 2018 when the Aces, you know, came here to Las Vegas, It is phenomenal. And, you know, for people that don't realize it, get out there and check it out or watch it on television or listen on the radio, because it is a fantastic product.
Aces Fever, pregame 6 p.m. tomorrow night at T-Mobile Arena on ESPN Las Vegas with T.C. Martin, voice of the Aces. Caitlin Clark, how would you describe what she's been through in this rookie season? Because she's had zero downtime since Iowa started their college basketball season. So she is constantly playing and on the court and being asked to do so many different things. How do you feel she's handled it so far?
I think she's handled it great. And, you know, really, when you look at it, guys, the media has really put, especially ESPN, they put unfair expectations, you know, just from, you know, the opening night to everything else. They thought, okay, hey, you know, we're going to capitalize on this. And I get that. You know, I totally get it. But to think that she was going to come in here and average, you know, over 20 points a game and all that stuff, it just doesn't happen. And you go back to Kelsey Plum and Asia Wilson. And Asia was probably the closest thing that you had as a surefire number one who came in with an immediate impact.
No doubt.
But Sabrina Ionescu came in, if you remember, from Oregon. Again, another big-time, all-time leading scorer. Came with all kinds of pomp and circumstance. And the Liberty drafted her, you know, number one overall 3 years ago. And it took her just until last year to, you know, which was year three. Now she has into year four of really kind of get it. So I think, you know, when Diana Taurasi and other people say, hey, you know, what have you accomplished yet? They are right. I mean, you know, these unfair expectations, but she has handled it just marvelously. I mean, just, it's amazing how, you know, all the naysayers that have been out there, the veteran players who are a little bit jealous, and you can understand that because, you know, yes, Caitlin Clark is bringing all of these eyes, you know, to the league, some new eyes, which is a fantastic thing. I think it is great. But, you know, she is one that is still learning the game. I mean, she is one of the league leaders in turnovers, but every game she's getting better and better. And for people to think that she should be on the Olympic team, that's a little bit of a stretch because, again, this Olympic team pretty much and this national team has been together, you know, for the better part of the last 4 years.
Wow.
And
yes,
she's still a little bit young for that. But she'll have her time here probably in 2 years for the World Championships and the next Olympiad, and there's no question about it as we got some aging, you know, players. But, you know, USA Basketball is going for its eighth straight Olympic gold medal. I mean, let's remember that. And so, you know, Caitlin Clark is handling herself fantastic. She is a great player. But, you know, it will take some time for her to be consistent, and she'll definitely get it. But so far, so good.
And I think it's actually best for her. Give her, as you said, Clay. I mean, she's been she probably needs a break, to be honest.
Could
I mean,
one.
Just a
yeah.
mental and physical yeah. break. But, TC, I wanted to talk about this is what's amazing, and I want to make sure people understand that, you know, it is a little different because it is a Olympic year that, you know, there will be a big break coming up for these Olympians and for the WNBA. They'll be taking some time off. But in the next, I mean, before Sunday, how's this? Four games. So Fever at home, you know, Mystic at home on Thursday, Friday at LA, oh, then man. Sunday back here at the house versus Dallas. I mean, that's, you better be resting that voice some, TC.
Not only that, Doug, let's don't forget about these road trips, okay? We just had a road trip. We came back to Vegas for one of the games. It was six games in 11 days, so six different cities in 11 days. And then you just laid it out for the next, you know, 5 or 6 days. Don't forget, next Wednesday, we've got a road trip where we've right. got, what, Seattle, Atlanta, and back to Washington, D.C., where we just came back from. And then we have a home game, and then you finally have, you know, the 30 days off of the Olympic break. So, no, it is a brutal schedule, and, you know, the WNBA is trying to pack everything in as much as they can here, so they don't have to, you know, run the season, you know, turn into Major League Baseball and, you know, let's have the finals in November, you know. But, yeah, it's a tough schedule, but the Aces have handled this exceptionally well. But, yeah, it is busy, busy, busy.
And, TC, kudos to you. If you haven't listened, make sure you listen to TC because you are solo on that broadcast, and just I think you do a great job. So, great job. You make the games very enjoyable. I love to listen to them when I'm not at the game. So, when I'm at the games.
You know, Doug, there is this thing. You're an old school guy. I'm sure you used to go to Dodger baseball games and listen to
I did. Ben,
you know?
The transistor radio with the earpiece.
But here's full disclosure. Here's full disclosure, TC. I'm an older guy, and those games are loud in the house with the, you know, DJ Joe Green and everything. I'm not sure I can have a radio on and be listening. So I gotta give my ears a break. But whenever either I'm not at the games or it's an away game, I'm listening, and you do a great job.
Yeah, TC, it's awesome. And lastly, we saved the best for last. Can words describe what we're watching with Asia Wilson? I mean, 20 straight games, scoring 20 points or more, shattering the previous record mark on that streak. I mean, she continues to dominate, but each time she comes out there, she finds it, gives us another reason to marvel at her work.
The best. And, you know, again, Asia Wilson is probably a better person than she's even as a player. I mean, she is just that good, always giving people the time, giving the media the time, willing to sign autographs. And she has taken this on her shoulders from day one. And, you know, we were all there in 2018, guys, when, you know, when she was drafted number one and come down to the studio, come on the show and everything. And she has just been that person. And she welcomes it. And what I love about her is she says, you know what, I'm greedy. I remember a couple of years ago when she said, you know, I want to be defensive player of the year. I want to lead the league in block shots. And it's like, whoa, girl, you know, you're a scorer. No. I'm much more than that. And look what's happened. Two-time MVP, two-time defensive player of the year. And she's just, you know, fantastic. All-around game has thoroughly improved from day number one. She's gotten into this league. She is just a fantastic player. She is on her way to her third MVP. And let's be honest, I mean, she got robbed last year. And she's on a mission this year to make sure she does get that MVP and lead her team to hopefully a back-to-back three-peat here. And that's just who she is. I mean, she's an amazing person. Anyone who's ever come in contact with her, they'll vouch for that. And we are lucky that we have not only the face of this franchise here in Vegas, and she's all around in and out of the community. I mean, she goes to boxing events, USC events. She's at UNLV games. I mean, and she's just always there, and we are just blessed that we have the face of the franchise here in Las Vegas.
Well, and here's a pro tip. After the games, if they win, the players will throw T-shirts out in the crowd. Two games ago, I was with my 16-year-old niece. Her favorite player, you know, is Asia Wilson. And all of a sudden, and this was no setup, you know, nothing like this, all of a sudden, Asia, I see her signing a shirt, and here comes that shirt. And I caught it, and of course, I gave it to my niece. And I was like, you know, so if they win and you want a chance at some free signed merchandise, stick around, because after the game, they'll be throwing out T-shirts.
Oh, and especially with a guy that has good hands right there.
That's right.
I mean, those things are getting fired. You try catching a Kelsey Plum fastball. I mean, come on, man. Yeah, look out.
Yeah, that's something. Go look on YouTube for people that don't know. That was back when they were in San Antonio, I believe, and she rocketed one up so far. I was like, holy mackerel. So, yeah, there's some good arms.
I love it. TC, thank you again for coming on today. We look forward to hearing your broadcast tomorrow night on ESPN Las Vegas.
Appreciate you guys very much. Take care.
Thank you. That's TC Martin, voice of the Aces, pregame 6 p.m. tomorrow night on ESPN Las Vegas here on Raider Nation Radio. You got to check it out, and also follow TC on X at TC Martin 21. There's something to be said about how crazy tomorrow will be, but you know, as far as like revenues are going in, and you know, T-Mobile Arena, huge arena, that could take in a lot of work, and ESPN's going to make this game of the night. You can feel it, how that's going to go down. But at the same time, I love what he said about how Mark Davis's commitment to keeping the ticket prices at $10 in the upper bowl over at Mandalay Bay at the Michelob Ultra Arena. That says a lot, because not many owners who feel like, you know, we got back-to-back defending champs. He's still trying to grow the sport for Southern Nevada or anybody who wants to come into town to see them, to make it as affordable as possible.
Now, maybe it's me speaking as a Raider fan, but I know they changed their uniforms this year. They changed the colors to silver and black. And I've heard some people, I love it. I think their new uniforms. In fact, I got a jersey. I had to get one, a Kia Stokes jersey. Wanted to support Kia.
Yeah, Kia.
And, you know, I think I like the synergy. I like, you know, that the Steelers and the Pirates, you know, I like when teams, Cubs and Bears, kind of the same. It's not the exact same shades all the time, but, you know, kind of in that same color palette scheme. So I think the floor looks great. I think everything looks great. I'm not sure if I'll be at tomorrow's game. You know, I usually go as a plus one, and that plus one, that's such a hot ticket. I might be sitting at home.
Could be swayed on that one. I can understand why.
Yeah.
It's going to be awesome. Watch it tomorrow here on Raider Nation Radio. We'll take a break and come up with more from our four down territory. Interesting stories about the Raiders, especially on quarterback accuracy. We'll tell you what that means coming up next. It's Doug and Clay here on your Monday, playing in the Oakland Coliseum tailgate. stealing it from Raiderhead. Come on, but that's all right. That's one of the great memories. A lot of people bring that thought in from the text line as we're getting them from you. 702-365-9200 today here on Raider Nation Radio. From tailgate to final score, what was your favorite Raiders game experience, whether it was at home or away? We see one here from this one cracks me up. This is from the 970. My favorite Raiders game was Gruden's 100th win on Monday Night Football. I got to be a part of the flag unfurling. Even though I had my luggage stolen that weekend, I got on the field and we won. Oh, that's what I'm talking about. That's good Raider Nation right there. 702-365-9200.
That's called finding the silver and black lining.
I'm not going to let that down. You know, I'm persevering through. Never forget it. That's awesome.
I remember my worst Raider game experience up in Oakland, and it had nothing to do with the Raider game. They were playing the Jacksonville Jaguars at the time. I have no idea what year it was. No clue. But the night before, because it was when I was living down here, so I would fly up,
okay,
stay at my cousin's house in Hayward, and he and his wife would throw epic parties, throw a lot of darts. And I think I drank more red wine than I've ever drank in my life that night before.
Oh,
and I was not a red wine, and I was not a red wine drinker.
Oh.
So anybody who's drank, I have never had a worse headache in my life. And I just remember sitting there at the game, just in my own little bubble. I have no idea if they won, they lost. All I could think of was, I want this feeling to end.
The game will go forever. It'll take forever when you're that hungover, and there's nowhere to relax.
And anywhere. It must have been a hotter time of the season.
Okay.
Or maybe it was cold. Who knows? And it was just the red wine hangover. But there's one of the worst experiences. Nothing to do with it. It wasn't even like I overpartied at the tailgate.
Right.
I'm sure I was sitting at the tailgate just sitting in a chair crying.
And bring your thoughts here at 702-365-9200. I was like that once, when I wanted to travel and see one of the games at Sun Devil Stadium, and it was Carolina Panthers against Arizona Cardinals before they built their beautiful, spacious
indoor facility
in Glendale. So this was outside. We saw Arizona State play the night before against Oregon State, got totally loaded. I could barely make it in the next day to watch Chris Winkie and the Panthers face the Cardinals, and I was just dying. I could barely move, and I remember
it was probably hot.
It was extremely hot. It was like 98 degrees, and I think somebody actually came and rescued me out of the bathroom because I passed out. And that's like, you know, that's when you have a friend that's willing to go underneath and pull you out. That's a friend for you right there.
Well, and yet you and I had nowhere near the suffering that Raider Mike when he went AWOL to watch the Buffalo Raider game at the time.
Raider Mike's kind of a leader in the clubhouse there.
That's right. It's going to be hard to get him.
Yeah, to end up peeling potatoes on a warship after getting going AWOL to see the Bills and the Raiders. It's still worth it. Here's Raider Nation Radio. It's time for the morning tailgate, and it's also time for 4-down territory. Let's go.
First down, and it's 1st and 10, Las Vegas.
Warren Sharp from Sharp Football Analysis is a guy that I always watch, and I listen to it, and I love his work, and we're trying to get him on the show either this week or next. But keep in mind some of the information that he derives from the regular season, and this one is very interesting when it comes to, all right, quarterback list of the highest rate of incompletions due to inaccurate passes. All right, very interesting to think of when you see names like Deshaun Watson leading the list at 43.9% of incompletions due to inaccuracy. That's bad. That's bad in every way. Now, no doubt, he hurt his right shoulder. He was up and down last year with injury. Okay, this year that's got to be put to bed in order to find some sort of rate of investment. But I'm thinking about if Deshaun Watson is leading the league and by a high margin, 43.9% of inaccurate passes, how can the Raiders' defense key up on that? Because that's a huge game for the Raiders. Not a game that they're favored in. But knowing that Cleveland Browns' defense is very good, can the Raiders' defense be just as good to take advantage of the inaccuracy? And I think this is where you start to see Patrick Graham in his third year relying on a young secondary to get up and down the field to take on guys like Amari Cooper, as well as, you know, Jerry Jeudy. This could be something where by week 4, the Raiders defense may be plugged in enough to take advantage of this inaccuracy.
No, and that's what you got to hope. What amazes me about Warren's list, though, is not who's at the top, but who's at... Now, granted, but it's still a minimum of... I mean, they had to have something. Did you see who's at the bottom?
The most accurate? The name you would least expect.
Never in a million years. When I saw this list, I was like, you could have sat me down, and I think I'd still be guessing. I wouldn't have guessed this quarterback is the most accurate. Go ahead. Spill the
Geno
beans.
Geno
Smith
is the most accurate quarterback, or at least the quarterback with the least incompletions due to inaccuracy.
Minimum 175 attempts.
All right, so that's a full season?
Because that's what I was thinking to myself. I was thinking, okay, what is it? He went 2 for 2 and that's it? No, I mean, that's it. Some of those names.
21.6%. He's the lowest in the league.
Yeah, unbelievable.
That's what Deshaun Watson should be. As far as the money he makes, that's the kind of like accuracy you're kind of hoping for. And it's not like, you know, the Seahawks just dink and dunk. They take chances downfield, especially when you got Lockett and DK Metcalf. Yeah. I didn't expect it to be that low.
And yet Geno Smith, you know, he had, you know, I guess there's the resurgence. And that's why you look at, like, you know, a Minshew, who is right at 30.8. Nothing wrong with his number. And you look at that and you go, hey, you know, the Raiders, I know Raider Mike alluded to it earlier. They've caught lightning in a bottle with a quarterback that came in. And, yes. You know, you don't know if it'll be O'Connell or Minshew yet. But, you know, you look at that, there's some encouraging signs there.
It is. There is encouragement. So when you got the inaccuracy list, highest rate of incompletions due to inaccuracy, Deshaun Watson, 43.9%, the highest. He's up there with Tyrod Taylor, Trevor Siemian, Bryce Young. Yuck. All right. Now also in the 35s, Aiden O'Connell's in there. 35.4% for Aiden O'Connell. Highest rate of incompletions due to inaccurate passes. All right. This is a rookie. He was also thrown into chaos.
Right, yeah.
And without an offensive coordinator, once AP took over, they tried to make it go. But how much of a pass does he get for that rookie season?
I think a huge pass. And that's why I know, you know, I listen to you and Vinny. Of course, I listen to JT and Q too. Mm-hmm. But, I think you have to look at circumstances a lot. And you have to say, okay, rookie quarterback wasn't supposed to be the starter. And then, you know, it was just last year was somewhat chaotic.
Yeah.
And that's why you hope... Okay, you build forward, and you see. And that's why I know, you know, maybe I'm drinking the Kool-Aid, but I have high hopes for a playoff season this year.
I think there's reason for that, especially when you have all the talent around what is being taken out.
Yeah.
As far as Davante Adams, the wide receiver core, but also Brock Bowers and Michael Mayer. There's talent here to help a young quarterback. Gardner Minshew, meanwhile, with the Colts last year, 30.8%. of rate of incompletions due to inaccuracy. All right, so we know that sometimes if Gardner is out there too long, bad decision-making can happen, but incompletions due to inaccuracy, you know, it's kind of like middle of the road.
Yeah, it's not bad.
That's not bad. He's right next to guys like, you know, Jalen Hurts is at 29%. Derek Carr is at 30%. Let's see.
Well, Brock Purdy's at 28.7%.
There it is, Yeah. So it's not like not terrible. That's actually kind of like what you're looking at of why you go sign a Gardner Minshew, because as far as what a backup can do for you, that's that good. That's exactly what you need. If Aiden were to get in trouble and you needed to get injured and you needed somebody to thrust into a spot, Gardner Minshew is absolutely that guy. But I wouldn't be surprised with having that kind of accuracy. He's kind of a dark horse there to win the starting job. It's going to be exciting to watch how this preseason unfolds because they're both going to get shots.
Yeah. No, it's fascinating. I will say this. Minshew's fun to listen to his press conferences and his interviews.
Yes.
He's just, you know. I mean, do we know where he's living yet? Is he living in on Boulder Highway at Sam's Town in the RV park or something?
At the Dew Drop Inn?
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah. I wonder about Gardner, and I hope he's okay, but we haven't even touched on the photos he took for the Raiders yearbook. You know what I mean? And the crazy facial expressions, and it's like, wow, what do we got here? This is really a special.
Maybe you don't know this because this isn't a hockey. Do you remember Tanev's... have you ever seen the Kraken picture of Tanev?
Oh, I forgot about that. I mean,
talk about crazy. Minshew's got a way to go for that, I think. It's just, you know, I mean, some people like to yuck it up and have fun. And nothing wrong with that.
You got to have fun with it, especially if you're Gardner Minshew. 702-365-9200 is the number. Make sure you send in the word resort into that. 702-365-9200 for your chance to qualify to win the summer of fun. Our Vegas vacation, our staycation prize is available this week. Make sure you qualify in. Send the text word resort into that number. Also, We got second down here on Raider Nation Radio.
Play action on second and 12.
And this is for a former Raider that finally is getting his day in the sun, the great Bo Jackson. Yeah, it's not Kenton Hall of Fame, but it's the Royals Hall of Fame.
That's cool. Nothing wrong with that.
Nothing wrong with that. It almost makes you feel like, how come this didn't happen earlier? You know what I mean? It's like,
it is amazing sometimes. You're right. It's like, wait, he's not already in it?
He's not already in it? Like, you know, the Royals that full of, you know, stockpiled of stars. Like, we got to have Bob Hamlin up here. He was our rookie of the
year. Maybe they just keep putting George Brett in again and again. Right. Well, this year it's George Brett again.
Yes.
He gives a great speech.
All over again.
That's right.
So it was Bo Jackson Day, and he gets inducted to the Royals Hall of Fame over the weekend. Just want to hear this exchange because he had his grandson up at the podium taking questions after the game was over. And it just goes to show you, sometimes you could be in the Hall of Fame of your respected team, but are you in the Hall of Fame in your own house? This is Bo Jackson with his grandson.
What do you like to watch when you come to that Papa house? You watch the baseball highlights, right? And the football highlights, right? And you like to run up the wall, don't you? And you like to throw your helmet. Show them how you break the bat on your head. And that's every day, all day. And as Nana told him a couple of weeks ago, I'm sick of watching Bo Jackson highlights. He chastised his grandmother and said, Nana, don't say that about Papa. Papa's my best friend. Did you tell Nana that? So, yeah.
Oh, that's so good. Papa, my best friend.
That's so true, though. Yeah, sometimes in your own house. Which can be a humbling. That can keep you grounded, though. I will say that.
Yeah, you always know that even on your birthday, you're still the fifth most important person
that's
in the
right.
house. But for Bo Jackson, on last week's show, we did like, all right, what's the Raiders Mount Rushmore? And ESPN, I'm sorry, NFL Network had their list of the greats from, you know, Kenny Stabler, you know, to Gene Upshaw. And we took a lot of thoughts from the text line, a lot of calls as well. And Bo Jackson's name started filtering in. And next thing you know, there was like 40 texts with Bo Jackson's name on a list of great Raiders players. To think about a guy had such a shortened career due to injury, but the impact he had was one in which you're still in love with today. In fact, I was telling the story where I was at Target with my son, and he was looking at Raider Funko Pops. And there was this big thing of Bo Jackson, a big shelf of them. And he was asking me about Bo Jackson. Who was he? What was he? And I went on for like 12 minutes until he just ignored me of how great he was.
Just like Bo Jackson, some of his family is.
Yeah, right. Or they turn a deaf ear to it.
That's right.
Bo Jackson on the Mount Rushmore of a Raiders Mount Rushmore. It's hard not to kind of like put him in the conversation.
Yeah, he'd be in the conversation. He wouldn't be in mine just because of the, unfortunately, the duration and the timing. But, right. You know, definitely in the conversation. And that is... Boy, that's tough to pick four. You know, that's you gotta have a couple Mount Rushmores. You gotta have an offensive one, a defensive one. I gotta be
yes,
honest with you.
Right.
You gotta have a special teams one too. I mean, Seabass has gotta be in there. Kicking off that skin dirt.
Oh man. There was somebody who came in with like an underrated Raiders Mount Rushmore and he put in Shane Leckler's name. And I'm like,
you know what? Hey, great punter.
How can you turn that down?
Yeah.
That guy was absolute money. AJ Cole's making you forget about him though, because AJ Cole is an absolute stud out there now. But we'll get into more of this on the other side. There's a great story about, you know, when you think about all the weapons that Aiden O'Connell and Gardner Minshew will have for the Raiders offense. And you see all these preseason reports from teams, and the Raiders still getting like an F grade for the draft. I don't think people realize what they have in Brock Bowers. And we'll tell you what that means when another team wanted him just as badly as the Raiders. We'll tell you who that is next. It's Raider Nation Radio. Doug Douglas, Clay Baker, and you. It's the Morning Tailgate. Let's go!
Back to the Morning Tailgate with Clay and Vinny.
With the 13th pick in the 2024 NFL Draft, the Las Vegas Raiders select Brock Bowers. Tight end, Georgia.
Now they will have 12 personnel coming at you in Las Vegas. We will get to that as the run of offensive players continues here in this draft.
Yeah, that's BM, man. That's what I call him, BM. That's the businessman. He don't care about nothing else other than just locking in on football. And I can see it in his eyes. I try to tell a joke and get him to laugh. Talking to the rookies, did a little panel with him a couple weeks ago. And I mean, he was sitting there stone-faced, didn't laugh at a thing I said. So I was like, this is BM right here. I told him that yesterday. I gave him his nickname. So I definitely know. I see what he's about, seen the tape. He's a big, strong dude, and he's focused and driven. So the sky's the limit for him.
Oh, I love it. It's Davante Adams coming back, talking about his first impressions of Brock Bowers, BM. Businessman.
I'm not sure I want that to be my nickname.
You know, especially if you don't have any sense of humor about things. You know what I like? It's like, just give me the whatever nickname. He's like, I don't care. Just call me whatever.
I will say I was lucky enough to be at the Raiders draft, rookie draft mixer.
Oh, yeah.
A couple of weeks ago.
Yes.
Mostly, just so everybody knows, most of the things I get to go to has nothing to do with me being me. It has to do with other people or who I know. So going to that, though, he was smiling. He was nice. That was a lot of fun. And as a side note, JT the Brick did an awesome job kind of hosting. Not only he did a kind of a round table with some people, but mm-hmm. Brock Bowers' parents were up there too, which I thought was really cool. So I got to talk with them a little bit and just say, hey, you know what? Congratulations too, because, you know, I know you know as a your son is an athlete, and I know how many swim things you go to, and my kid took a different thing, but still marching band. You know, there was a lot going on there. So, you know, kudos to the parents out there, too.
Yeah, because you got commitments, and you it's not about you anymore.
No.
It's all about them.
And it should. You know, that's the way it should be.
And it's like you forget, like, how many miles you start logging on, and next thing you know, you're in the cars together for hours on end, and, you know, you're just building a different kind of bond altogether, but you're watching your son and daughter growing up in a different way that, you know, maybe you had that same, you know, relationship with your parents. But for me, you know, watching my son and doing all this stuff, it's almost like I get a chance to go there with him, even though I'm not competing. I see the fun, the joy, the drama that all goes in, the anxiety. It all rolls into one. And Brock Bowers' family exploded when his name was called for the Raiders on that draft night. His mom gave him a big hug, and his dad, just like this humongous smile put on his face, that it was just like, you know, completion.
It finally
came to this, and we're so proud to have him. And that same smile was on stage over at that Raiders mixer because his parents, he's like a real businessman. Like Davante said, like, he's all business. And his coach in Georgia, Kirby Smart's like, Brock's not a guy who's going to be doing a lot of talking. He saves it for the field. He is somebody that's not going to be flashy on the interviews. He is someone that's going to be very serious and set the tone of being your best player as also your best worker in practice. And I think that's what goes overlooked in a lot of the preseason prognostications of where the Raiders are at and why they picked Brock Bowers where they did. You know, he was obviously very coveted as a player in the draft, but were other teams interested in Brock Bowers as well? Well, now we're starting to find out because of the show that runs now, which is very cool. It's called The Pick Is In, and the NFL does a fantastic job about it. And it talked about how the Rams were doing everything they could because they wanted to jump up and draft Brock Bowers. See, we don't get these stories during the draft, but now we are, and it makes you wonder, like, all right, what is it about Brock that is so coveted? Because the Rams felt like he was, and I'll tell you what, if the Rams did get him, that would have made them just as much of a dangerous offense as they were last year. Here's some thoughts from that. This was from the Rams, and you're going to hear the voices of Sean McVay and general manager Les Snead as they kind of like first approached the Jets, because the Jets were the first team to trade down from 11 to 10 because they knew the Vikings wanted to trade up so they could get J.J. McCarthy. This is what it sounded like in the war room. You'll hear Les Snead's voice and then Sean McVay.
A lot of people do not like to trade back in the first round.
He doesn't think they're going to move back this far.
You've waited a long time for that pick. You've studied, you've analyzed it. So people will trade back, but it usually takes a lot.
There's not going to be any real options probably to get up in, is there?
I mean, I look at 11 being one. I mean, maybe you know from Kevin and them.
I think they'll be comfortable taking McCarthy there. I'll call him, though, real quick. Hey, if your guy's there, you guys aren't interested in going back, right?
He's talking to the Vikings.
Him if he's at 11, right? Okay.
As Minnesota's sitting there, as you said, Braveheart, hold.
If I'm the Jets right now, there's time for gamesmanship. I would call with these four quarterbacks gone. I would place the call to Minnesota and say, hey, I've got people that want to come up and get the fifth guy. You got to give me something to come up one spot.
And that's from the NFL Network.
That's amazing. And
to think that, like, you know, so where the Rams were, they were not high on the list. You know, they picked, they were at number 19. So they're trying to jump up to 10 to get the Jets pick because they wanted Bowers so badly. Everyone else is clamoring for spots to, like, We want J.J. McCarthy and or a chance to get Bo Nix. Everyone's thinking quarterback. Rams are thinking tight end. And the elusive powers of Brock Bowers is not lost on anybody. It's not just the monopoly of wisdom that the Raiders had. A lot of teams wanted him.
It's amazing. We started off the show kind of talking about, 40 days to the first preseason game and the excitement and, our own fantasy leagues. But you hear that. How exciting would that be? And pressure pack, too.
Oh, yeah.
And you don't always know until years later whether you made a good call or not. But, just to be, hey, give this person a call. See what you can do. Here, do this, and this. the things that are going on behind the scenes are truly amazing.
I also love it, how McVay tries to call Kevin O'Connell and how quickly he is just rebuffed.
Yeah.
Right? Immediately. No, we have nothing.
Hey, if your guy's there, you guys aren't interested in going back, right? Yeah, you're going to take him if he's at 11, right? Okay.
As Minnesota.
Yeah, he immediately hangs up on him.
Well, there goes that pipe dream. Goodbye.
Oh, that's so good. We're Raider Nation Radio, the Morning Tailgate. Doug Douglas, Clay Baker, and you. Send the word resort into 702-365-9200 for your chance to qualify for the Vegas staycation. What a great vacation opportunity you have here on the Summer of Fun. Not only do you get 3 nights in Vegas, a Sphere show, but you also have your choice of doing the September Super Concert / Boxing Match. You get hotel rooms. You get spending cash, $1,000. You be on the high roller. You get to see Alejandro Fernandez, Cirque du Soleil. Oh, you can't beat it. But you can't win unless you qualify. You got to enter. Text the word resort to 702-365-9200. Doug and I are back with Jesse Merrick from News 3.